Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to this installment of the Steel Conversation, brought to you by Pittsburgh Steelers on 24/7 Sports. My name is Brian Diardo, and joining me on this show for the first time is Matt Zimba. Matt's a native of Pittsburgh, PA, lifetime Steeler fan, and a Duquesne graduate, which all you Steeler diehards know is where Dan Rudy, the Steelers' current owner, attended. He is still a native of Pittsburgh, and he's in a roll along with me on the first postseason podcast. Unfortunately, we're saying postseason podcast because the Steelers were unable to continue really a remarkable season. They fell to the Broncos yesterday by the score of 23-16. Obviously, as you know, the Steelers were just marred with injuries, and as gallantly as they fought, they just could not finish yesterday's game. Had a lead of 7-6. Lead of 10-6, a lead of 13-9, and led by a point late in the game into the fourth quarter, but a key fumble, a 65-yard drive by the Broncos, and then a turnover on downs kind of doomed the Steelers' fate. But in any event, I'm getting just a big sense that there's not – I mean, obviously there's sadness, but I also feel like in Steeler Nation, a lot of people are still happy with the season that the Steelers had. Obviously – as Steeler fans, we expect Super Bowls, but you don't win it every year. And I think this team showed growth from last year, and they show promise for the future. So, Matt, we'll just start there, and let's talk about the game. You know, it was a game that you know, a lot of people didn't think the Steelers had much of a chance to win. I don't think I saw a prognosticator outside of Bill Cowher, who now is with CBS, actually picked us to win this game. But the Steelers had an early lead. They fell behind early 6-0. But then they kind of got their bearings after that slow start. The defense did a good job holding Denver to just field goals early, as they had done all year. Pittsburgh's defense was very bend but not break. But just, you know, once we got into the fourth quarter, once Manning got that turnover, you know, that's what great quarterbacks do. They take turnovers and they turn it into points. And I wanted to ask you, Matt, what do you think played the biggest role in the Steelers' loss yesterday? Was it just the fact that it was just Denver's time? You know, Denver, we had beaten them a month earlier. It's hard to beat a team two times in a season, let alone two times in a month. And, you know, the Steelers' defense, as good as they played, they just faced a Hall of Fame quarterback that just got it together. Was it just Denver being better? Was it the fumble? That's one thing that Ben Roethlisberger and other Steelers kept saying yesterday, that it was not Toussaint's fumble that cost them the game. However, it did change momentum, and it did lead to Denver going on the eventual game-winning drive, you know, right away. Was it the play calls? There's a couple controversial play calls that not a lot of people have discussed in the aftermath of the game. You know, I know early in the first quarter on the Steelers' first drive of the game, they had the ball in Denver territory and they went for it on fourth and short when Boswell could have kicked a field goal within his range, and the Steelers didn't make it. And then in the fourth quarter, the Steelers had the ball at Denver's 34-yard line and elected to punt instead of going for it or trying a field goal. Or just the injuries. As everybody knows, Antonio Brown didn't play, DeAndre Williams didn't play, and all those injuries were just finally just too much to overcome. Matt, what do you think was the biggest reason why the Steelers were unable to get out of yesterday's game with a win?
When I look back at the game, I definitely don't. I don't think you can point out one specific play or the injuries, or the play calls. When you look at the play calls, I think it's a lot easier to think you should have done something differently when you look back at something that didn't work the way you planned on it. I think it's a lot easier to look back on something than to foresee a play call not working. You know, with the injuries, you know, I think that the Steelers have enough depth, and I really enjoyed seeing our backups play really well. I think that just shows that the Steelers are going to compete no matter who they put on the field. So I think that's great to see for next season. I think it was great to see who they want to keep around. And, you know, so as far as the fumble, I definitely don't think you can blame that either, because there were plays all throughout the game where the Steelers had chances. It was just that one was at the most pivotal point in the game, so that's going to unfortunately be remembered. But no, I don't think you can blame the fumble, because there were a lot of other chances, and that wouldn't have been nearly as meaningful if they had capitalized on those other chances.
So you're going to go on the injuries pretty much.
Yeah, when I look back at it, it's almost just like it was two really good teams competing, and one team can end up with a slight lead in the end. So,
you're going with Denver, which I think is a wise call. I mean, you're just saying that you can't. And it's kind of what the Steelers said. They would have loved to have had AB out there and D'Angelo, but at the end of the day, they weren't going to use that excuse, and it looks like you're not going to either.
Yeah, I think the backups played great. So especially Fitzgerald Toussaint, I think he had a great postseason, especially with last week in such a big game against Cincinnati, that being his first action of the regular season. I think he really stepped up, and they wouldn't have gotten to Denver without him. So I'm happy to have him on the team this year, and I hope they bring him back for next season.
Right, and I agree with you. I think, obviously, if Brown plays, I think if William plays, the dynamic of the game changes. But you don't know. And really, D'Angelo only had 16 yards rushing against Denver a month ago. I get it was a different game and different situations. But, it wasn't like either way that the running game was maybe necessarily going to win this game for the Steelers. Obviously, Toussaint's fumble, that was a huge play. But this is what Trent Dilfer said earlier on ESPN earlier today, that it was just a great play by Bradley Roby. I mean, he just made a great play on the ball. Toussaint was holding it high and tight. That's what running backs are taught to do. Yeah, he didn't have two hands on the ball, but most running backs, when they're in the open field, don't have both hands on the ball. They're using one hand to protect the ball and the other hand to shield the defender away or to stiff arm or whatnot. I agree with you. And the Steelers didn't use an excuse. And Denver certainly had guys that were banged up, too. Not as many as the Steelers. My only thing is, when you look back at the play calling, and I'm not going to be too overly critical, it wasn't as bad as the controversial calls in Seattle with that crazy play where we used Villanueva as a receiver, our lineman, and we had our kicker or our backup, Landry Jones, trying to throw him the ball when Seattle wasn't fooled. It wasn't the Baltimore game, which was some of the worst calls you're ever going to see, with Michael Vick instead of Le'Veon Bell getting the ball in his hands four times on third and fourth downs. So it wasn't like that. But I will say this. It would have been nice to have seen Tomlin have more confidence in Boswell. Because if you look back on that fourth down, the Steelers kicked that field goal, that's three more points. And with the ball at the 34-yard line in the fourth quarter, if Boswell kicks a field goal, well, that's three more points. I think Tomlin was just – he played conservative after – for whatever reason with Boswell. He just didn't think, for whatever reason, that Boswell had the leg in Denver to kick a 51-yard field goal twice. Twice they had the ball at the 34, and twice Tomlin said that he didn't think pretty much that Boswell could make the 51-yarder. My only thing, Matt, is I don't understand why Tomlin didn't have any faith in Boswell, or do you think – is it that, or do you think he just wanted to, especially later in the game when they punted, do you think that he just wanted just to play field position with Denver?
Yeah, I definitely think he was going for field position. That punt didn't work out, obviously, the way they thought it would, with it being a touchback. And they were maybe with the 40, 34, and then Denver ended up with the ball at the 20 after a punt. So looking back, I guess, they should have gone with the field goal. But I guess that's easy to say when the play didn't work out the way they thought it would.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. But again, I one reporter that was there that I read said that there was basically no wind yesterday. So it wasn't like one of those things where if it was windy and mile high and you're in a tight game where no one's really scoring, I can understand why you don't want to give up the short field if you miss a field goal. But Boswell, in my opinion, he made four field goals last week, including the game winner in Cincinnati. He had made 29 of his 32 field goal attempts this season, and that's in the last 12 games. We didn't have him until week five. He had earned the right to at least have a chance to try a field goal on that stage. And even if he misses it, we lost the game, and he has that experience now heading into next year. So my only thing with this whole thing was, you're willing to go for it on fourth down at the 34-yard line in the first quarter, but in the fourth quarter, when you have the ball in the same position, you try to punt and you take a delay game penalty. I know at that point, Tomlin knew at that point, okay, well, now it's the defensive game. He didn't necessarily know that in the first quarter. So I can't just say, well, you know, that's my rationale for his inconsistency there with what to do on fourth down when you're that deep in an opponent's territory. But still, would have liked to have seen them, you know, at least try a field goal in one of those two situations and see what Boswell can do on that stage, see what the kid can do. I think he had earned that right. But let's talk now, Matt, about the season looking back. Well, you know, we're not done kind of breaking down the Broncos game. We'll do more of that. But, you know, it was a season, and I think you'll agree with me, and you live in Pittsburgh, so I know you have a good perspective of this. I feel like even though this season didn't end with the Lombardi Trophy, Steeler fans aren't terribly upset today. Obviously, they're upset that the team's not moving forward, but it's not that same disappointment that you normally get when the Steelers, like when we lost last time in Denver, last time, you know, in 2011, when we lost in Denver with the Tebow game. I feel like Steeler fans are almost okay with how the season ended just because of the fact that this team does show promise for the future.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, they looked like they could have had a really good run through the playoffs and maybe even make it back to the Super Bowl. Based off the way they were playing yesterday at a lot of points throughout the game. But, yeah, when I look back at the season, you know, I think it's a pretty memorable year, just the way that they got into the playoffs, you know, the way that the whole game in Cincinnati went and they came out with the win, and just with how competitive the game was yesterday. So I think it was an exciting season, and, you know, after a year like that, you know, it brings out excitement for next season because, you know, with how strong they look, you know, if they bring back a lot of the same guys, it could be a really good year next year. And what I really enjoyed about this postseason was I enjoyed seeing how well our backups played. Because a lot of people, you know, they just think about Antonio Brown and Williams being out. You know, they were also missing a lot of the starting offensive line, and Le'Veon Bell hasn't gotten talked about either. So a lot of people, you know, have talked about D'Angelo Williams, but he was our starter throughout the postseason.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's exciting to see, you know, to think how competitive the team can be next season, no matter who they put out.
You're right, and that's an awesome point you make. Lost in all this is Le'Veon Bell hasn't played since week 5. You remember last year, this team went to the Super Bowl a year ago, and, you know, I think we actually have a caller, so I want to go ahead and get this person on. Well, you're on the show?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling from South Carolina, Somerville. And
welcome to the show.
Yeah, I used to live in Conway Lake, Pennsylvania, about 75 miles north of Pittsburgh. But I was watching a game yesterday, and I was listening to you guys talk. I wish Tomlin would have went for that one on the fourth. He should have gone for it. I think he could have caught Denver's defense off, and they could have made it down to a first first down. But my question is to you. I like that Jesse James guy. Do you think they're grooming him to possibly step in for Heath Miller when he retires?
What was your name again, sir?
My name is Troy from South Carolina.
Awesome. Well, hey, enjoy that weather for both of us because we're up here in the East Coast pretty much, and it's awful. So, and thank you for your call, Troy. And you know, Matt, I'll let you handle this one first. Me personally, I think Jesse James is going to be great, and that was a great call. Peter King of SI.com said earlier today that the Steelers should draft, you know, Max Williams type of Baltimore, who the Steelers supposedly wanted to draft, but Baltimore beat him out and got him last year. I don't think they need to get a tight end like that. And I think you're right, Troy. I think with Jesse James, and he had a big catch yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, Matt. You know, he didn't get a lot of opportunities to play earlier in the year. He had a lot of drops in the Hall of Fame game, which, you know, that was just a few months after he was drafted. But, man, this guy has the size. He got open in the middle of the field, which is not easy to do. You know, I'm not really quite sure about his blocking, but obviously it's somewhat good because the Steelers aren't going to put him into the game if he can't block. Matt, what do you think? I personally think that Jesse James, like Troy's alluding to, can definitely be a guy that can evolve into a starting tight end for us.
Yeah, I definitely think he's played really well for a rookie. One thing I think about when you bring up starting for Heath Miller after Heath retires is, people were actually confusing him with Heath Miller when he made catches earlier in the season. I think that shows how well he really did play as a rookie this season.
Hey, Troy, we'll get you out of here with what – oh, go ahead, Troy.
Oh, just one more question. I am so glad he took on that Daniel Wave guy, the former Army guy out of West Point. I guess he's a captain to be on the offensive line for blocking. That dude's huge, man. With him at DeCastro, I don't know if Ponce's going to come back or not, but they just need to build up the offensive line just a little bit more and let Ben have – you know what, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of miss the freedom that Ben had a little bit when the offensive guy – I'm stumbling here. The coach from Phoenix was there, the offensive coach. Ben just seemed to be able to lock up that ball down there.
Right.
Yeah, they need to let Ben have a little bit – okay, I'll let you guys go, but thanks for taking my call.
Right, and thank you, Troy, again. We appreciate you calling in on the show here behind the steel curtain. And, Matt, I think Troy made some really good points, something that you and me have been alluding to, is that, the Steelers had so many players come in this season that were injured and played well. And he mentioned, Jesse James, who, like you said, you're right, even on the broadcast, not yesterday, but earlier when Jesse James made a catch, even the announcers were saying Heath Miller. Because he looks just like Miller, he looks just like Spaeth, he's cut from the same cloth, and he was 21 years old when we drafted him. He was very young. Some people didn't think he should have came out early. I believe it was a fifth-round draft pick, so it wasn't like the Steelers spent too much money on him. And, gosh, this guy was one of our best rookies, assuming, when you think about that we had, three of our seven rookies, four of our seven rookies barely played this season, and Cinquez Golson, our second-round pick, didn't play at all because he got injured prior to the year starting. Villanueva, who did serve three tours of duty as an Army Ranger in Afghanistan. I mean, Matt, I mean, talk about him and when Kelvin Beachum came down, he just came in and really solidified that left tackle position.
Yeah, he really stepped it up. Like I was saying earlier, I think a lot of people, forgot throughout the season that the offensive line was as injured as it was. People really only talked about the D'Angelo Williams injury and the Antonio Brown injury this past week. You didn't really hear too much about the offensive line. I mean, that shows how well they played.
Yeah, and I think, and this kind of brings us into another conversation, which is Ben. It came out today that Mike Tomlin was very emotional and actually broke down in tears, and he was addressing the team yesterday, which. Martavis Bryant, I'll give it this, Bryant's only been around for 2 years, but he said that was the first time that he had ever heard or seen Tomlin cry. And especially they said he broke down when he approached Ben Roethlisberger after the game, I guess gave him a hug. Tying that in with what Troy talked about with Alejandro Villanueva, that lineman, Villanueva, has praised Ben for his leadership. Because, Villanueva, understandably, I mean, this guy was not in the NFL a year ago. He was cut by the Eagles last year. He put on 100 pounds. He played tight end or receivers last year at Army back in 2009 before he went to Afghanistan and served for our country. We thank him for his service. Puts on 100 pounds, comes back, barely makes the roster this year. Beachum gets hurt against Arizona, and he has to come in and play against the Cardinals-style defense right away. And yes, he gave up a sack near the end of the Chiefs game, and there were a few moments where he struggled. But in large, this guy really improved throughout the season to the point where there were several games when we went on that run scoring 35 points in six straight games where our O-line wasn't allowing a single sack. And a lot of that's because of Villanueva and the offensive line. But they kept saying throughout the year how badly they wanted to play for Ben, how much they wanted to protect him. Talk about, Matt, how much Ben has just gone through this transformation from where he was when he first came into the league as a young guy to where he is now, where his coach is crying over him and people that served in Afghanistan are talking about his leadership.
Yeah, I think he's really earned a lot of respect with the team. You know, I think he, I mean, he's definitely played really well. He's he's always, I really like to see how he's always encouraging all the teammates, no matter what, he's sticking up for his players. So I think that's,
yeah,
how he's gained a lot of respect. And you know, he's all, even when he has to call somebody out, you know, they always work it out and make the best of it. So.
Well, it makes you think, and I think Steeler fans are this way. You know, yeah, we want to win the Super Bowl every year. You know, we've come accustomed to having those kind of teams. But I think, A, because it had been, you know, it's been since the 2010 season since we had won a playoff game until last Saturday. And the fact that this team just, that this band of brothers is what they keep saying, just like they did 10 years ago. I mean, it's real. I mean, these guys really love each other. And, again, there's a long-time sports writer that I read that's covered the team for over 20 years. He said this is the tightest group he's ever seen. The Steelers had a lot of tight groups, going back to the 90s with Bettis and Blitzberg and Slash and all those guys, to the group, you know, 10 years ago when Bettis was still there with Hines Ward and Joey Porter and all those guys. And the team now, I mean, that's saying something. And I think the fact that this team is still – you know, they've got a great blend of young talent, talent that's ripe, that, like, Antonio Brown is going to be 28 this year. Like, he's right in this prime, like, now. Like, this year, next year, maybe the year after that. Martavis Bryant is 24. He's going to be 25 this year. I mean, there's just so many. Yeah, now, Ben's 34. So I think the window for Ben, he's got a couple more years, I think. Maybe at most 3 or 4 more years of real vintage football, as long as he can stay healthy. And that's the big thing, is healthy. I mean, Matt, I think if this team stays healthy, and I think that's one reason why fans right now aren't taking the loss as hard as playoff losses in years past. I feel like from what they saw of this team and with all the pieces that are going to remain in place, there's a lot in store for this team.
Yeah, I definitely think so, too. I think next year could be a big year. So while we're on the subject of this past season, one thing I wanted to bring up was that that Arizona game when we beat them by 12 points. You know, that's to me, I didn't realize how big of a game it was at the time. But looking back, I think that's one of the most memorable games of the season when we played, and, you know, a team that only lost 2 games so far this year, and they're playing the NFC title game. And Landry Jones played most of that game and looked really good and ended up winning. Looking back at that, I think that's a really big game, you know, just because it kind of shows how competitive the Steelers are going to be no matter who's playing.
No doubt. And I think that win, that's a good point. That was a big win. My favorite win was actually the week before that against San Diego. Now, San Diego wasn't very good, but no one really knew that at that time. I want to say San Diego was also 2-2. We were 2-2 coming off the loss to Baltimore, which easily, I don't know about you, it was easily the lowest point of the season for me. Not even the Bengal loss in Week 8. Because I think at that point I knew we had a good team. We just needed things to come together. We needed something to happen to bring our team together, and it happened shortly after that. You know, we had the 2 wins against Cleveland and Oakland, which going into our bye week, and then things just kind of rolled. And even with the loss to Seattle, that just kind of momentarily kind of, you know, derailed us just for a moment. And I even think in that game, it showed what the Arizona game showed. We can go anywhere and beat anybody if we play the right way and play together, offense and defense. But the San Diego game to me, I think, was my favorite because we were 2-2. We just had a horrific loss against Baltimore. And that could have been one of those losses that derails your season, even though it was early. You know, it's one of those losses where you just think, is it going to be one of those years? You know, we already lost Bell. We already lost Pouncey. You know, at that point, we had just lost Ben. That was Michael Vick's, you know, first game. That was right after Ben went down in week 3. And you're just thinking, you know, is this just going to be one of those years nothing works out? We didn't have a kicker. So then that next week at San Diego, you know, to win in the fashion that we won. Because, again, you know, San Diego took a 17-10 lead, and you're just thinking, this season just isn't meant to be. But before that, with Antoine Blake's interception in that game, which was one of, I think, the defense's early statements that, okay, we're not the steel curtain, but we can still do things to help this team win. We can still get turnovers. We can sack the quarterback. And then Vic had what became the only great moment of his time with the Steelers. I don't know if they'll keep him or not, and we're not going to get into that on this show. We will in future shows, I promise. But to me, that was like the highlight of the season, capped off with Bell's touchdown run. I think that showed me that this season was just, you know, we talked about this a little bit, Matt. Like, what season besides this one, like, because I think this season will be remembered. You know, it's easy to say that now because it just ended, but I think this season will be remembered. And what season for you stands out among the Steelers seasons that were very good but just didn't end in the Super Bowl?
You know, looking back, I would say 2004, when Roethlisberger had his rookie season and they went 15-1 in the regular season, and they beat the Jets in a very close playoff game in a divisional round, and then ended up losing to New England, unfortunately, in the AFC title. You know, even though that season didn't end the way we all hoped, I think that was outside the Super Bowl years. I think that was the most memorable of my lifetime.
Yeah, that's one of them to me. I would go 97 as well. That was the year that it was kind of like this season in the respect that you know, there were expectations, but we had Cordell Stewart starting for the first time, so no one really knew how well he would do. We started the year 1-2, and then later 3-, you know, and no one really knew how well we were going to be, and then we just went on this run with the Anthony Big Ten, and Bettis was second in the AFC in rushing behind Terrell Davis, Barry Sanders, was third in the NFL in rushing, second in the AFC, which isn't too bad when you're behind Davis and Sanders. We had all these crazy wins. You know, we were down 21-0 and came back to beat Baltimore that season. We were down 21-7 to the Broncos, ended up winning 35-24. You know, we were down 14-0 at New England and then down 21-13 in the same game and won the game in overtime on some crazy plays. So it was just crazy. You know, it was just one of those crazy seasons. But one thing that you mentioned about this year, we had our biggest margin of defeat was 10 points. I mean, that's something.
Right.
I mean, we were in every single game. And you go back to the New England game, week one, we missed 2 field goals. I can say at least in 6 of our 7 losses this season, it wasn't because the Steelers just got beat by a better opponent. It was mistakes that the Steelers made. And I think that's also something that I think fans are looking forward to, that if we stay healthy and don't beat ourselves, we could win 13, 14 games next year.
Right. Yeah, and one thing about that Kansas City game where we lost by 10, people thought that was a bad loss at the time. But, you know, that was because they were 1-5. But then they ended up finishing the season 11-5. So,
right, and you're
right
again.
A very,
you know,
tough game.
Right, and they just lost in the second, in the same round we did to New England. So when you look at the quality of the team we did lose to, and you know, Baltimore is a rivalry game. I'm not a fan of John Harbaugh, but he's a good coach. You have to give him his due. And we had won all those games in a row, and we laid an egg. And that may have helped us later on because I think it may have refocused us for the playoffs. But we lost a very quality opponent. And we're running out of show, though, and I would be remiss to mention that today is 40 years since Super Bowl X. Matt, I know you're a Steelers historian. When I say Super Bowl X, what's the first thing you think of?
Oh, you got me. You got me on this one. And then we beat the Cowboys.
Yep, beat the Cowboys 21-17.
Okay.
And it was that one catch.
Oh, the Lynn Swann catch.
That's right. It was that Lynn Swann catch. And I threw that one on you. I'll make sure I prepare you for the next one. But yeah, that's the one that we won. We beat the Cowboys 21-17, and the Steelers' second straight Super Bowl victory on their way to 4. Swann had 4 catches, 161 yards, and that was the game where Cliff Harris challenged Swann not to play because Swann had that concussion against the Raiders 2 weeks back. But Swann played, and the Steelers won another Super Bowl. And, Matt, I wanted to thank you for joining our show. I know this won't be the last time you join it. Looking forward to having you back. Thank you, Troy, for calling. And we'll have this every single week, at least one of these shows. Maybe we'll do one live coming up, and we'll get more callers like tonight we had with Troy. So, again, for Matt Zimba, this is Brian Diardo signing off. We hope you enjoyed this installment of the Steel Conversation. Again, check out our website, Pittsburgh Steelers, pit.247sports.com. And, as always, it's a great day to be a Steelers fan.